Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Everything Action Review Cast. I'm your host, Zach. Just now we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Don't trust him. Trust him. Spider-Man.
He hates on me. Da, 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 da. Yeah, so we're we talking on this review cast about... I haven't seen how much it made this weekend, but I'm sure it made a crap load, even though it's kind of a mess. Amazing Spider-Man 2, the latest... in the reboot, I don't know, I guess now to me a universe, a Spider-Man universe from Sony.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Because there's been like Venom and Sinister Six movies and Spider-Man 3 and...
Yeah,
so we're getting into it, and as always with our review casts, obviously there's going to be tons of spoilers. We're going to basically dive into pretty much everything in this movie. The some good, mostly bad. Yeah, so spoiler, if you haven't seen it, go watch it and then come back. Actually, maybe not watch it, but... yeah, if you want to watch it, you're going to get spoiled if you listen to this, so... but if you haven't seen it, then let's get going with our thoughts, and we had there's definitely a ton of stuff to talk about in this movie. Some things we have to like try to figure out what the hell is going on with.
Yeah.
The dissection of the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, that's like our first one where we just like tried to figure out what the hell was going on. but I think just general thoughts to start with. I think Chris probably liked it. I think you liked it the most out of the three of us.
Like is not a strong word this time. Like it was the most pleasant of what I thought it would be, but it wasn't it
exceeded your low expectations.
Exceeded what the first movie started. I'm going to say that. Like, it exceeded that one thing of going, like, groaning, like, oh my god, I don't need teen angst in my Spider-Man.
It, like, it amped up the action, but it also amped up everything, all the other things as well.
Yeah, that's it. Definitely, it instead of being, like, a good ratio, they just want, okay, times everything
more,
by two.
More of it.
More. I'm like, oh. And it's like, any bad part I hated in Amazing Spider-Man 2, it became worse now.
Well, can I just say something really quick that bothered me a little bit? There was a throwaway line in this movie where they talk about trying to turn the city into lizards.
Yep.
You do remember that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was like cutting room floor shit for Amazing Spider-Man. Like, I know that he was trying to fuck everyone up with that, like, death ray and stuff, but... In the Amazing Spider-Man, no one actually gets turned into lizards.
Except for that SWAT team.
But there was like 40 minutes of that shit happening that got like cut out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. To me, that was just kind of sloppy to do that. Because as like a smart nerd or whatever who knows that that happened, I'm like, wait a second. What are they actually talking about? Because as far as we know, it was that one SWAT team. And nothing was ever mentioned of it ever again because it got cut out of the damn movie.
I mean,
Connors could have said something.
There was a gigantic kerfluffle at Oscorp that everyone saw, so...
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sure, like, it was in the Daily Bugle or something.
Oh, it would be awesome if we could, you know, like, see something like that, but
yeah.
Whatever.
See Jonah Jameson?
Yeah, instead of a fucking email from... okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I gotta get us back on the rails, I apologize.
No, I mean, that's what we do here at the review cast. We just...
It's supposed to rant.
Yeah.
Because that bothered me. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe we're gonna see Triple J, but no.
Well, they didn't hire good like any other actor, and I'm still J.K. Simmons is like the hands down best. Like,
if it's not J.K. Simmons, I'm gonna be legitimately pissed off.
Mm-hmm. Or I need like the son of J.K. Simmons. Like something needs to continue from him.
Yeah. I don't think no one would care if they brought him back in.
No. Actually, he was like the best parts of this original. Like even Spider-Man 3, he was like the best parts of it.
Yeah,
outrageous. Done.
They should do
crap,
like what they do.
Mega crap.
They should do what they've been doing like with like I think it was like Ultimate Spider-Man, where like he has like entire like news network.
He's like spam.
Yeah.
Like JNN or whatever.
Well, that's what they did in that's like the one cool thing that the Spider-Man MTV series did. Was that he was like a media mogul. It wasn't just the Daily Bugle. He had like the CNN parody thing.
Yeah.
So there'd be, like, his giant, like, face on the screen in Times Square, mm-hmm. like, saying what a menace Spider-Man is as he's, like, fighting Electro, like, in Times Square. That was cool. Everything else about that show was terrible. But that was cool. But, yeah, I don't know, guys. I kind of feel like this movie here, not necessarily the last one or any Spider-Mans before that, but this particular movie, Amazing Spider-Man 2, is proof positive and is probably the best evidence I could give to anyone for my argument that I just don't think Spider-Man is, like, lends well to movies. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't have Spider-Man movies, but I would be infinitely more excited about a really kick-ass, like, grown-up Spider-Man TV series
mm-hmm.
than I would about a Spider-Man movie. Because with TV, you can flesh out these stories and not just, like, bash them all into one movie and just, like, hope to God that it fits.
Yeah, load, like, them with a shotgun and just, like...
we'll just pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
Wherever they fall, we'll just see what happens. Like, it would be... I mean, imagine if you could have, a straight-to-Netflix, like, Spider-Man series, you know? That really nothing is off-limits, and you have... what, 22 episodes per season? Something crazy like that?
Yeah.
If it were a network order type thing.
Yeah, because all the best, like, classic Spider-Man stories are at least, like, six-parters or something. At least.
They're sagas.
Yeah.
They're sagas. I mean, if you look at the symbiote saga in the Spider-Man animated series that we all know and love so much.
That's like an entire season. Is
goddamn forever. It's like... it really is, like, yeah, more than 20 parts.
Yeah, it's like Symbiote Saga Chapter 15.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I mean, even something like Kraven, they go up to, like, Night of the Hunter, like, they go up to, like, part, like, 7, I think.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Like, they go, yeah, I mean, they really give Kraven his story. But it's cool, because even though it's, like, a kid's show, and, you know, watching it now, it's not as magical as it was when you were little, like, by the time... you know, it comes time to fight Kraven, and he's got to choose between, like, loving that doctor girl or, like, killing Spider-Man. Like, you really kind of feel for him because they've developed the character.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, Spider-Man, maybe, you know, you should let this one slide a little bit, man. I mean,
and you know. He doesn't show up 5 minutes into, like, toward the end of the movie.
Nope. Nothing like that. Ah, fuck. Yeah, let's go with that because obviously the hate is, like, on the surface here, yeah, in our heart.
Yeah, I think we need to dive into, like, the main thing that's wrong with this movie, and that's the villains. Because they're...
yeah.
All of them are awful.
Well, the main villain, Electro, they do a great job of making him a sympathetic villain. But you can't have the entire crux of this movie hang on a sympathetic villain.
And he doesn't have any motivation either. His motivation is...
none.
His motivation is the motivation that Homer had when they're like, thought he killed Mr. Burns.
Right.
It's like...
right.
Homer, who is this man, Smithers? Oh, you're dead, Burns! Yeah. You're dead! Yeah, it's just like, Spider-Man doesn't remember who he is, and he thinks he's his best friend because he's a psychopath.
No, but it's not even that. He remembers him. He doesn't remember his name.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. You're my eyes and ears. What's your name?
But then the angry yelling dubstep, like, convinces him that to attack him.
Well, okay, the angry yelling dubstep was absolutely the most painfully awkward part of this movie for me. I went to see a late show of it on Friday night, and mm-hmm. even though I live in a part of Florida where it's mostly, like, seniors, I feel like a lot of comic... like there were a lot of Marvel shirts and a lot of Spider-Man shirts out. You know what I mean? So these were people who wanted to see the movie. And it got... by the third time that they did, like, the voices thing... people would just start laughing whenever it happened. I was like, oh, man.
I didn't notice it, like, the first time. The second time, I was like, wait, is this his inner monologue? It's, like, going in time with the music?
I mean, the theater we saw it in, I forget the name of it, but it's that new sound technology where it's, like, super-duper surround sound, where, like, mm-hmm. sound could actually sound like it's coming from different parts of the theater, and it's not just, like, all around you at once. Yeah.
Is it, like,
it's actually
really... or something, maybe, or...
it is, but it's not called that because it's Cinemark, and I think they have their own name for it. The point is, like, when they had those voices, especially the second time, like, it sounded like there are people talking behind you. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I was like, oh, shit, no, it's going from speaker to speaker. And it was a really cool effect. But that's all it was. It was just an effect.
In the movie, it's the stupidest.
In the movie, ever. In the context of the movie, it was fucking stupid, man. Like,
he hates on me. It's like he says, like, he shoots at me, and it's like, it's better than shoot you, man. It's the cops.
No, the cop shot at you. Yeah. And let's not forget that Electro is not supposed to be a paranoid villain. You know, he's not supposed to be one of these, like, Gollum-type characters. Ah, precious. Like, he hates us. He wants to hurt us. No, he's...
Hey, cool, I have electrical powers now. I'm going to go rob some places.
Right. Yeah.
I can take down security systems, though.
I do like that they already set his character up to be this, like, bumbling genius. And he is the Edward Enigma of Batman Forever in this. Yes. Where, like, he's so, like, ignored by this company. He has all these secrets that, for no reason, does he have these secrets. You know, like, no one cares it exists, but then it's like, when they need something done, it's like, hey, you! Like,
back to work, Edward!
Go back, go fix this problem in our top secret electric eel facility. Don't fall in that
path,
though.
He got eel raped, right? Like, he got, like, I was watching that going, oh, is he getting tentacle raped? Is he just...
hentai!
there's biting him and giving him electrical powers somehow.
But then all the eels died? Or something?
Well, the tank broke, so I don't know if anyone cleaned that up. But...
Yeah, no, just like... And then you saw the picture where he's all crispy and like, covered, and you're like, okay, this is... Why, like... And then it's like, how did they get him out of the building? Like, when there's these comical scene where they're, like, trying to remove the body, like, no one look! Nothing's under this, like, cover.
Well, it seems like they put him in, like...
The Oscorp,
I guess, the basement or something. Yeah, they put him, like, the Oscorp morgue. Or funeral parlor or something.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, the body's gone. Like, no one complains about that.
Oh, okay. Well, that sucks. Hey, speaking of Edward Nygma, and speaking of, like, that whole vibe, just like in Batman Forever, which I was saying before the podcast, you know, I kind of feel like this is Spider-Man's Batman Forever, and that it's not terrible, but there's just so much questionable shit happening that you're like, this could have been a much better movie.
Yep.
But with Edward Nygma, he had that, like, overlord boss who was a pain in the ass, and he wound up being Edward's Riddler, whatever you want to call him, wound up being his first victim. That's fine. In this movie, you have a similar dynamic, but here's my gripe. In Batman Forever, that supervisor dude was a complete and utter throwaway character. He was there to serve one purpose, which was to be Edward's first victim and to show that he's held down. All right, I can live with that. But in this movie, you have BJ Novak as Alistair Smythe.
Yep.
And he serves no purpose in this movie whatsoever other than to be in two scenes and to be a dick to Dylan, to Max Dylan. Like, what are you doing? Like, to me, that's almost as big of a crime as what they did with Norman Osborn.
You have
Spider-Man's Joker, okay? You have Spider-Man's arch-fucking-nemesis. The single most evil and terrifying victim that Spider-Man faces. And without even giving yourself the ability to utilize him, you take him out of the picture completely. That would be like wanting to win the Kentucky Derby, but shooting your horse in the head first.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, I still think we have a chance. Like, what was the motivation behind that, guys?
Yeah, especially with all the buildup of like, oh my god, what's going on with Norman in the first movie? Like, Norman Osborn
is
in the shadows. And it's just like, I should have cured my goblinitis.
I got the gob.
I couldn't figure out, you have a suit that can, like, repair
apparently,
you.
Apparently he's, like, instantly heals you, yeah.
What about the suit? Who cares if no one sees you? Like, you're gonna live if you're in this goddamn suit.
I think, like, the Slash Filmcast made a good point, where, like, it seems like Norman, even though he has, like, goblinitis, he lived, like, a pretty long life with it.
Yeah, really?
So it's like, why is Harry, like, freaking the fuck out about, like, ah, I need a cure! I need a cure right now!
I'm going to die in, like, 30 years.
Like, 40 years.
Yeah, and, that's, I mean, I'm going to say something that might make me seem like a douche, but that's 40 years of having, like, billions of dollars.
To research this disease and cure it, yeah.
Or to just fucking, like, you know, make a room that's made entirely out of cocaine and gold.
Yes.
And then just fuck, like, you know, models all day.
You've got this really weird end plan, Joe.
Hey, man, I'm just saying.
It's cool, but it's depressing.
He could, like, yacht around the world on a fucking, like, golden boat, you know?
Yeah, it seems like he only gets it, like, he only starts getting it because he heard about it from his dad.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, you have it already. Like, his dad tells, like, trembling.
Yeah, his dad's like, you have goblinitis, and he's like, what's this on my neck?
Oh, no.
That I didn't have yesterday.
I do have shaky hands all of a sudden.
Yes.
I think it is, what's that called? When you think about a disease and like your body reacts to it when you think.
He's a hypochondriac. He's a goblochondriac. Like, my God, I think I do have the goblin, actually.
Yeah, not you mentioned it.
It's like the same thing that happens on WebMD when you go to see if you have, like, you know, bronchitis.
I say it's cancer.
You're like, oh, do I have a cough? And then it's like, well, a cough is also a side effect of AIDS. And then you're like, oh, God, do you feel hungry every few hours? Are you pooping once a day? You probably have AIDS. Oh, no. You convince yourself for, like, 2 full weeks you have AIDS? I think this was all in Harry's head, dude.
Yeah.
But then it actually came to life when he actually took spider blood.
Yeah, oh my God, that made absolutely no fucking sense.
I know.
Because, like, so, like, the big, like, Richard Parker thing that we learned this movie is that, like, the spiders were all tuned to Parker DNA. So that's why
by the way, it took a lot to not leave the theater at that point.
Yes.
When he, like, revealed that in the video, and then they tried to play it off, like, it was this huge, like, story shifting idea. I was like, oh, fuck every last one of you writers who did this, because this doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're trying to continue, like, the it's your destiny, Peter, to become Spider-Man.
My bloodline.
Yeah, the Parker bloodline. but then like, apparently Harry, like, so you can't use it, but then Harry just uses it and, like, accelerates his goblinitis or whatever.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I thought it was so dangerous because he was going to reject it and die.
Yeah.
Or, like, it was going to, like, mutate him into, like, full-on, like, the green guy. Like, that would have made a lot of sense. Because think about it, guys. This is a movie universe where a man can turn into an actual lizard. Yep. Like, they've set that precedent. So if he took Peter's blood and already had the goblin AIDS, and then it, like, accelerated it, wouldn't it make more sense for it to totally mutate him and maybe turn him into more of a, like, proto-goblin type character? Or, like, imagine the Green Goblin in, like, the Spider-Man noir universe where he's that giant, like...
Yeah. Or, like, Ultimate Goblin.
I thought they were going for that angle where, like, he messes genetics and he can kind of Dr. Right. Hyde, and, like, that was kind of cool.
And he becomes, like, a Killer Croc-looking, like,
yeah,
villain.
Yeah, and that's, like
that would have been sweet.
Yeah, but, like, now it's just like, well, yeah, you just mutate, your skin changes, and that's it.
Now you just look like a very, like, gangly hobo, like, yeah. Who rolled around in, like, turtle ooze.
You have, like, oh, God, what is, was that disease that turned your skin yellow?
Jaundice?
Yeah, like, he has an extreme case of jaundice, and, like...
Oh, he's just an alcoholic hobo who's fallen on hard times.
Needs to clip his fingernails.
Yeah, like, if Dr. Nick saw him, he'd, like, throw money at him. Holy smokes, you need booze.
Yeah.
That's what our Oscorp researchers have determined, that I just need some hair of the dog, and I'll be okay.
Yeah, like, all that goblin stuff should have been, like, he should have, the teaser should have been him trying to, like, maybe possibly turn into goblin. Like, it should have been, like, in this movie, probably. Like, this movie needed, like, way more focus, because there's, like, 30 things going on at the same time, and none of them were that good. If they had, like, buckled down to, like, 2 or 3 things, it probably would have been an awesome movie.
Yeah, like, the okay, so let's go back. We'll start with the rhino part, because that was like, oh, Paul Giamatti. He actually might have a big part in this, right?
No.
I will say, that opening...
One
that,
scene, two scene, ha 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 ha, two scene.
I will say that opening action sequence was pretty goddamn awesome.
Yeah.
That, okay. I was watching that and thought, you know what? Maybe I've been listening to a bunch of fucking dummies talking. No offense, Zach, but I'm just saying, like, maybe I've been just been, like, listening to what people had to say about this too much, because I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, that was
like, that was classic when he, like, knocks on the window and he's like, "Hi."
If the entire movie had that tone, like, best Spider-Man movie ever, probably.
Yeah, I like the wackiness of his fighting. I like the little, like, cartoon gags of him trying to catch all the like. like nuclear waste or something. That's so like dangerously unsecure.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was cool. And then it stops, and then it becomes a weird romantic comedy for the next like 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh yeah, Paul Giamatti, that was him, and he was the Rhino, right? When does he become the Rhino? Worry about it.
Because they played up the mech suit the entire like every
marketing
or every poster, everything. It was like the mech
suit. And I'm like, okay, we'll see that.
It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes into the movie. It's like, you know, I haven't seen the mech suit yet.
I actually thought maybe they cut it, just like they did with MJ in this movie.
They did too. Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're gonna save for like Sinister Six or whatever on the cutting room floor, and I'll be fine with that. I was almost fine with that. But
it was one of the five like Return of the King style endings of this movie.
Oh my god!
It just never ended. It just kept going after like they should have ended it after like the Sinister Six tease, and then, but then it was like, nope, we gotta do another scene with Peter, and then we have we have another scene with like. Then the entire last Rhino scene was like I don't know what they're doing. It was almost but not quite as bad as the crane scene from the first movie.
Oh my god!
Or it's just like
super crane scene.
Yeah, it's just super sappy and ridiculous. Like little kid who just runs out to face down Rhino, and then like everyone's like, no one does anything about it. Like the police are like holding everyone back, and like, don't worry, man, Spider-Man's got this.
Oh, we'll get to the kid scene later, because that was so bad. All right. So right after we realize, you know, Spider-Man has been Spider-Maning for 2 years or so, just covering the city, doing all these weird things. And then he has the audacity to bring up, hey, I thought about your dead dad. I think we should break up on our graduation night.
Like,
on your graduation dinner night in Chinatown.
Yeah. He's apparently been seeing, like, ghost angry Dennis
Leary.
for months.
Rescue me.
Ironically, is also like the premise of the show, Rescue Me.
I know. I don't watch a lot of Rescue Me, but I got a vibe from this a lot. We're just like, hey, what's up?
I'm seeing my dead cousin, so I'm just going to keep like
haunting you.
Fucking his people that he loved. Incredible. But yeah, man, he basically just like, this movie starts with how the last movie ends. It's like, we can't be together. Now we're together and everything's great. Everything's awesome. Oh, we can't be together.
Every other scene was like, no, we can't do this anymore. We should probably do this more. No, we can't do this anymore.
And then, hey, here's an 8-minute scene of us walking through a park, hardcore flirting with each other. And what was my least favorite part of the last movie? Awkward Andrew Garfield trying to flirt. And he just became like creepy and weird and made me really uncomfortable. And there is a hell of a lot of that in this movie, too.
The whole premise of him awkwardly like talking and looks like flirting with everyone in this movie is just strange. Like,
interacts with everyone.
Well, yeah,
I thought he was gonna fuck Aunt May. There,
yeah, he was gonna fuck.
I thought
Aunt May.
He was gonna do it.
He was gonna funk Harry. He was gonna funk. When he's talking to Harry about like, hey, so your dad died. I just came to stop by and say hello. I'm gonna leave now.
I just came to see if you were gay and wanted to have sex with another gay guy. Because
I'm here for you, man.
I'm here.
And then he's like, ah, Peter. And you're like, he like stares at the floor and they laugh and they're just like awkwardly shaking. I'm like,
save you, Peter. Ah.
Yeah.
And then they go on a romantic beach walk. And I was like, what? And, okay, what about the scene where he just climbs the rail and just like hangs on the side? I'm like, does no one go like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, that was probably Andrew Garfield improvising. And they're probably like, oh, he's brilliant. Leave it. That's so brilliant. Spider-Man. Our Spider-Man would do that. Our autistic Spider-Man would definitely do that.
He either has Asperger's or is autistic. I'm just like, there's something really weird about the Spider-Man.
I think it's Asperger's because he's also like a genius, but he just doesn't know how to interact with people. You know, like he can't really express himself or speak. Like he kind of like fucks things up whenever he tries to use words.
Yep.
I mean, he's a great Spider-Man. He's just a weird Peter Parker.
Yeah, he's a very, very weird
like,
Peter
I don't,
Parker.
Spider-Man is supposed to be, like, a little bit eccentric and, like, an ass. And, like, that's what Spider-Man is on costumes. Yeah.
Especially younger Spider-Man. Especially when he is in high school. High school.
Because, like, I don't mind that. That's totally his life. Because he's, like, his social life and his, like, romance life is shit. Okay.
Well, Spider-Man, I would argue, isn't really in his prime as a character in the chronologically, I don't think he's in his prime until around Maximum Carnage.
Right, that's when he's like an adult, and he's like, oh, fuck.
He's like 25 by then, probably, right? At least, like, he's, you know, something like that.
Something like that. Like, he's actually, like, a junior, I think, in college, because he doesn't get his master's or PhD until way later. Because he, like, because he for 1 year, he took a year off, because he was, like, battling shit around the world, so. He couldn't finish college credits, so it's like, yeah. Because he graduates when he's like 30. He's like, hey, he finally did it, Peter. It's been like fucking 20 years.
Well, that's what they do in the animated series also.
Really?
Because he's not like college age when he's in college. He's in like grad school. That Peter, who's always wearing the same thing, is, you know, in his late 20s.
I didn't know what school he was in. I thought he was just like questionable high school with extended programs.
At the beginning of the series, he is, but by like season two, they're in college.
Wow.
It's like NYU, like working for.
Yeah, and he never stops being in college for like the whole series. So you're like, oh, he's doing an 8-year on-ramp.
Yeah, because then like Morpheus comes in, like steals his like college project, and then becomes Morpheus and stuff. And.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That was so crazy with, like, the crazy vampire Felicia love triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I was always confused. Sometimes the comic, he works for Connors. In the comic, he actually, in high school, he has an internship at Connors' lab.
That's what Spectacular Spider-Man did, is, like, he and Gwen had an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, like, this insane Gwen has been working for Oscorp for, like, forever.
Yeah, this movie, like, yeah. Yeah.
And then she, like, goes to college, and then she's going to, like, super college while in college? Like, she goes to... And
no,
then, yeah.
She's not in college. She's still in high school.
They graduate from high school in the beginning of this movie, of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay, but then it's been, than a year, right? And they broke up or something. Because, like, too many seasons go by. There's too many montages where I can't tell time anymore.
I think that's kind of the point.
Like,
I mean,
like, they broke up that night. Like, graduation night, they broke up. And then,
assuming that's like May.
Her for like a couple months, it seemed like.
So then
they
it's like.
They broke up
fall.
At Dim Sum.
Yeah.
Yeah, they broke up. Dim Sum is brunch. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's
white people. So what do you
think? I was like, Dim Sum? Like, that's a morning dish. What the hell are they doing at night?
Let's go get an egg roll. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I was probably
any more stereotypical.
I was probably like one of the few Asian people in the theater going, like, wait, what? Like.
So there's like four of you. You're all looking at each other like, wait, what the fuck?
Dim Sum for breakfast. for lunch or dinner? What?
I'm leaving. Fuck this movie.
So already this movie offended me within the first 10 minutes. So. And then they kind of shoehorned the Stan Lee cameo like really fast. It's going that
I think I know him.
I was
thanks,
like, well,
Stan.
There's no build up. They're just like,
thanks, Stan, here's your check.
Uncle Stan, that's not. That's Peter Parker. It's not your.
Actually, in the game, it was like Uncle Stan is supposed to be like his uncle or something, or
that
his
was
friend.
Really weird.
And in the game, that part I got. This one was like, he's just, Stan Lee just wandered into this, like, graduation.
I like how you do it in the Lego Marvel Super Heroes, where it's just, like, Stan Lee, straight up. It's like, and then A.G. Coulson's like, hey, it's that guy who follows you everywhere.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, so I actually thought it's been a year, because Peter's in college. Gwen's not?
No, they're both in high school.
But they just graduated.
It's like graduate high school.
Yeah, it's like the summer before they go to college, I think.
Yeah.
Is it the summer? Because it's like fall again when they meet up.
Well, I mean, because don't forget, he's not talking to her for a while. He's just kind of like awkwardly stalking her.
So when they go meet up finally, and he's all like, yeah, let's go get like Froyo or something. It's fall.
It's September or something like that, I guess.
Is it? Maybe. They look like it's winter.
Actually, no,
it's not because when he's leaving the Roosevelt station, that voicemail says like, oh well, maybe it's better that I go now instead of having like the summer together. So it's still summer.
What?
But maybe they're just
frozen in this movie.
You know what it is? It's the fact that they're yuppie hipsters and that they probably get cold really easily.
Oh my God, they just wear like scarves.
Everyone in this movie is like
peaks and scarves. That's what they wear.
See, I was like, that you wouldn't wear that in the city when it's like the summer. You would pass out.
Yeah, man.
Hipsters.
Okay, because during that montage of like him not being with Gwen, he's like fighting crime like every day.
Yeah.
Seasons change. Like.
Yeah. No, that's true. And. They do that again when he's visiting her. I'll spell it out so the idiots don't get it spoiled. The Grave.
Versus spoilers.
No, I'm kidding. when he's at her grave or whatever, like,
a year.
The seasons change too. Yeah, but then anime goes, it's been 5 months. I'm like, no, it hasn't. It's
that pissed me off. I even said Zach. I was like, what? It's amazing weather just happened.
Fall, winter, spring,
it was
fall.
Snowing on him. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt at one of them.
Yeah.
He was sunburned.
It's weird. I was like, what? Okay, fine. See, that's why I assume he was already in college by the when they meet up and he's like doing all his weird experiments because he has a lot of free time.
Well, the thing was like she was going to go to college at Oxford.
Oh, yeah, I understood that.
That
I thought,
on her end, though, that was like the ultimate bitch move because you know she was just doing that to spite him.
Do you really love me? Huh? Do you really love me enough?
She
even kind of
made it clear. And then, yeah, and she has to like bait him into like coming with her. OMG, he really does love me. Fuck you, Gwen.
You gave me no choice. God damn it. You know how crazy I am about you.
I'll be the conspiracy theorist and say that maybe Spider-Man wasn't going to save her in the end, and then he pushed out at the last night anyway.
His last thoughts were like, Oxford? How dare you?
I don't know. Maybe he saw Felicia and was like, damn, she would look good in a white wig and a Robin mask.
And a bodysuit.
Such a bodysuit.
So, yeah, okay, let's go back a little bit. So, during this whole time where the one incident with Max changes his whole viewpoint of Spider-Man. He's like, I'm a huge fan. Let me dress my whole goddamn apartment like a fucking psycho. And I was like,
they both do that at one point in the movie. Like, Peter does that, and then Max does that, of just, like, the crazy, like, conspiracy theory, like...
Yeah.
Pins on the wall, paper.
The whole Jamie Foxx is, like, crazy, like, it's my birthday! Hey, thanks for giving me a cake, Spider-Man! Like, oh my god. Yeah. This whole movie could just be about his mind, and it would be
being
this
like crazy...
crazy
ex-girlfriend.
Spider-Man doesn't exist, guys.
He remembered me.
Wait, what are you talking about, Max? There's no Spider-Man. Spider-Man?
He loves me.
And then he goes to work, and he bumbles around. He gets yelled at by Ryan from the office. He has his own, like, weird birthday card in a e-card thing. Did you remember that?
Yeah, it was like a weird, like the VIP party.
But he's throwing that no one else knows about because no one else knows him? I was like, what?
He needs some help.
Yeah, like, this movie should not be Electro. He should just go to counseling. Because his reasons, like we all said, are retarded. It's like, oh, you remember my name. You don't really know who I am. We met once.
Well, then they tried to throw in, like, the whole thing of, like, I'm trying to take the power back. I'm trying to take the power that's mine. By literally stealing power.
And then it's like,
Is power, like, is that, like, cocaine or something to him?
Well, I mean, like, he needs power to be power?
I guess, yeah. He's, like, living power, I guess, but...
it was cool. They pulled a lot of new Electro things that they took from Ultimate Spider-Man, where he's, like, pure power.
Yeah.
And he can, like, Dr. Manhattan, like, appear out of things.
Yeah. Well, where do his rubber shorts go, though? Or like, his, like, bodysuit that he has later.
Oh, this bodysuit that he just found?
Yeah, that's specially designed for him.
I would like a little explanation. Like, Harry's like, here's wear this rubber suit that you can materialize.
If someone fell into a vat of eels.
Yeah, we have this, like, diver suit for that reason. So you can wear it. This would be cool. I didn't understand the battery charge on his head. That was like,
yeah, that made no sense.
What is he, a Duracell? Like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Like, why does he need that? Okay, so let's go back one more time for this part. So before he gets the power suit, he gets tortured at Ravencroft, which is Spider-Man's
apparently uncle. Located in Nazi Germany.
Yeah. My God. Yeah, why?
Where do they find another a crazy Nazi, like, guy that just loves, like, classical music? There's, like, two different stereotypes coming together, these cliches. Like,
yeah.
Crazy Russian, a crazy German scientist loves, like, classical music. Like,
want to see how much pain you can withstand.
We'll take your power, Electro.
Niamen? Give you a little electrical shock in your pooper?
Yo, what? I didn't understand the whole, like, tube thing he was in, and then, like, shocking him to shock him.
Pretty much everyone else in the universe is, like, in this universe is kind of just, like, a normal, like, kind of awkward hipstery person, and then it's, like,
yeah.
Crazy cartoon Nazi guy.
Then Red Skull's fucking assistant.
Yeah.
is just kind of
Ravencroft. I didn't understand the whole, like, let's test on him, because there's nothing, like, what, I mean, like, these experiments don't make any sense.
Yeah, like, if you're going to test on him, like, hey, maybe let's, like, burn Electro. Like, let's see how, like, let's see if the electricity gives him protective powers. Let's, give him electricity. Like, we know he's electrified.
I wonder if this, like, taser would affect a person of pure electrical energy.
Right. And I was like, are they just tasing him and then dunking him in water? Like, what the hell is going on in a scientific term here? I'm not questioning it that much, but I'm like, okay. Why would you use machinery when his power is coming from machinery? Wouldn't you put him in, like, a Magneto, like, plastic bubble? Like, something that he can't affect?
I don't know, something sensical and maybe, dare I say, realistic, if you were dealing with a person made entirely out of electrical energy.
Just, like, down to, like, a table. Probably just blow up with electricity.
Or, like, being surrounded by lightning rods.
A totally rubber room.
Yeah, like, that makes sense. I was like, oh, wow, they contain him inside, like, you know, like any...
Or, like, have him just, like, submerged in water and have, like, an air tank going to him or something.
Be, like,
something.
The crazed German scientist is, like, literally inches away from the guy's face. And he's just, like, insulting him and shocking him. Like, why aren't you dead yet? Like, why isn't Electro just, like, spitting at you when you're dead? You know, like...
Yeah.
And then his glasses like, break.
Spider-Man!
Oh, my God.
That was awful.
So let's skip ahead. Skip ahead. Same room, different scene. Harry somehow ninjas his way in.
No training! Has Harry been training with, like, Ra's al Ghul or something? Like, where the hell is he... Where did he learn this in, like, his European prep school?
Yeah, I was like, wait, he tases these guards. Like, these people... Their job is to be on guard for this.
And you never see him, like... display that level of, like, fighting skills, like, in the movie, just, like, one...
It's not even fighting skills!
You never see him display that level of aptitude, like, in anything. Like, he's not good at anything. He's a terrible son. He's a terrible businessman. He's got a compromised immune system. Like, his fucking body doesn't even work right. And now, all of a sudden, he's like, Knight of the Ninja.
Yeah, he's got a terrible throw, because he threw that, like, whiskey glass, and it cut him. Like, do you
Damn!
So, it's like, how is he, bad at all that, but then he's amazing at taking down guards. But it's not even stylized. He just tackles one of them and, like, tases them. Like, there's no finesse.
And infiltrates Ravencroft, which is basically, like you said, Spider-Man's Arkham, but it's also locked down with dudes with machine guns. Like, he just those are the only two guards he has to get rid of, really? They have guys patrolling the roofs.
I mean, it kind of makes sense why everyone gets a breakout in and out of Ravencroft. But Ravencroft is just, you know, unlike Blackgate, which is general population, this is specialized for, like,
supervillains, I know.
So it's insane where, like, he can get past the super guarded people that's supposed to protect the super freaks. And he just does. Like,
he turns to Jason Bourne for, like, one scene.
Oh, my God, I was so pissed because I was going, like, how? He can't, like, he didn't finish anything in life. How is he, like, able to get in here? Okay, whatever. And then I like how he wakes Electro like a fucking, like, pussy. He's like, hey, let's make a deal about business now. Like, oh, don't business tack, Tim. Like, and then he's like, I need you, Electro. You're going to be my friend.
You'll be my friend?
You need me? That gives me the will
Electro
of Electro
smash!
Okay. So I was like, Max Dillon is, like, socially awkward, right? But then... when he becomes Electro, he's, like, still awkward, right? Little bit competent. Like, he's able to have a conversation without being creepy.
Because he can murder people now.
So. And the murder and the dubstep voices? I was like, okay.
Nothing gives you confidence like murder, Chris.
Godlike powers.
Allegedly, from what I've heard. Anyway.
There was that whole montage during this time where Peter tries to, like, magnetize his web shooters.
Yeah.
Was that necessary?
They really should have played the Benny Hill theme over.
I mean, it was funny, but it was like, this is going on way too long now. But, like, every Spider movie has a weird montage of him trying to invent something different, so...
I gotta invent spider armor.
He doesn't... I thought he was gonna do that!
I thought
he was gonna coat himself in some... Because, technically, he invents spider armor to take on three different type of elemental people.
Yeah.
And that was cool. And plus, he did make a special type of armor to fight Electro, like a weird padded suit.
Slated suit, yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't think of that. He's like, I'm going to take them all with my fists and my spandex. Like, I would maybe wear gloves. I would wear, like, something. Like, you could still be Spider-Man and still wear, like, I don't know, a smiting, like, suit, something, you know?
Wear, like,
something
a, like, wear, like, a wetsuit under your suits.
So yeah, or dishwashing gloves, I don't know.
Something that'll brown you, you know? So, like, I'm not a physicist, but I kind of know how electricity works to some degree. You know, I'm like, I get that.
And he's like standing in puddles trying to plug things in. Like, he is.
If you think about it, when he like wets Electro every time and he's still not dead from it, he can still be shocked from the water.
Yeah.
Same thing with that whole great scene at Times Square where all the people just standing there watching. Okay, yeah, let's go back.
Yeah.
So all these fights.
Should I talk about the Times Square scene? Yeah.
There were spectacular crowds just watching this battle. Screaming.
Yeah, literally every battle except for like the final one had like a giant crowd of bystanders around.
Yeah, that Spider-Man instigates, by the way. He's like, yeah, Spider-Man, I'm here.
I'm here to hype it up.
More
people involved.
Like, I think I Facebook messaged Chris or something, but like, is he like tweeting out like where he's going to be going? It's like,
okay, there's going to be a big fight in Times Square tonight.
At the real Spider-Man.
It's merch like, will be available.
Hashtag, Electro fight. I don't know.
Show this tweet to get 10% off men's apparel.
Yeah, check it at Foursquare into Times Square to get your Spider-Man badge.
This is the mayor of Spider-Man fights.
Yeah. So I mean, they're just like, I like how when the fight was going, like, you know, it's a fight, so no one knows how it's gonna come out all the time. People are just like waiting, like, yay! And then when it's going ugly, they're like, oh, Matt, now we should run. You know,
like they see, like, no one is like freaking out. There's like a living, like, god of electricity, like, walking around them.
Or the fact that a police sniper just took a shot.
They're just like, why is he blue?
He's on literally every screen of Times Square.
Is he supposed to be blue, though? He's shooting electricity. Yeah, but he's blue.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
I mean,
they're kind of his ass,
Spider-Man.
they're all like antagonizing Electro, who could like,
yeah, they all make fun of him. It's some weird bullying group. This city, it's not the first time something creepy happened, you know? Like, they had lizard people for like an hour, right?
Yeah.
And they had a lizard man for a whole week. So like
60 minutes.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, they know, like, freaky shit could happen, yet they still want to see it. Like, they still want to be there. And, like,
well, especially Gwen. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll just hang around and wait till the bitter end of this. Like, bitch, do you realize that this is all Peter wants you to do is not be in danger?
Yeah.
Got to fucking stay there like a doe-eyed idiot. Like, oh, what's this?
And the cops are just like, everyone's
should we
back.
Move people or should we... You know what? Let's just keep shooting.
Please,
let's
just everyone take cover in the TGI Fridays and the Applebee's.
Yeah.
All right, and then
I would say like that's like opening fight and that fight were probably the two best scenes in the movie, though.
Yeah.
Because like
Goblin just ruined the end of the movie for me.
Yeah, but just like during the Times Square fight, there's like tons of like really awesome slow mo, especially like Peter gets like. Detective vision or whatever, like slow mo, like
yeah,
he gets like the premonition of like spider sense.
Oh, his spider sense thing.
Yeah,
there's a weird range about that because it's like he's predicting, he's premonition shit. It's like he's not supposed to be premonition. It's just to be like, hey, something's coming at me. That's it.
But
not like he's got like a 10-mile range.
You see, like planning out like every single like web shot and stuff, or like seeing everyone in like that one area like about to get zapped.
See, I thought it when like him and Gwen are on that weird friendship date, and he like senses Electro. That is like 10 miles away. We've been to Manhattan. Like that's near the edge of the water where he's at, and he's like 10 miles that way, Times Square.
Didn't they see an explosion though?
No,
I thought it's an explosion. I mean, it was like Electro.
No, he just senses Electro because when
He just senses it, and then, like, shit starts blowing up. Because he gets there before anything bad happens.
I sense angry dubstep.
Yeah. I hear the bass and just leaves.
What is that?
And then Gwen gets there pretty fast, too. Like, because Spider-Man swings there. It's like, again, like, he's at the edge of Manhattan. And then he, like, goes to the middle of Manhattan, downtown Manhattan, Times Square. Gwen gets at the same rate. Walking or something, how I don't know. She just like shows up all during the fight, so I was like, holy
she's
crap.
A hipster, so she probably has a bike with very skinny wheels.
So I was like,
got a ride from like Lyft or Uber or something.
Yeah,
What else?
I lured me to Times Square.
Okay, so who you know the scene where everyone's about to grab the handrails and fry themselves to death in Times Square?
Boy, do I.
I actually kind of wanted to see someone actually fuck up and grab it, you know?
I was like, too, because that would have been the perfect giveaway for Spider-Man to be, like, a menace or, like, a failure as a hero.
Yeah, he couldn't save everyone exactly.
Yeah, that has to be a huge part of who Spider-Man is.
We just, like, flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, and, this baby.
And let's not forget, those steps that those people were on were steel.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the handrail. They would all be fucking fried.
That whole section, the floor, the handrail, the steps, even people behind that in the side would just be dead.
Yeah.
Electricity is a very specific, like...
It doesn't have one pass. Like, that's the amazing thing about electricity. You could direct it, but if anything is connected, it's gonna get fucked.
Yep.
And all these people are like, wow, thank God everything else is made of concrete or something.
It's magic electricity.
So that was like, wow, he can save all those people who are just running up to run down. Like, where were they going to go? I don't know.
Just getting fried.
I like that one woman just to grab the handrail with the baby. I was like, oh my God. Like, the one dude, I was like, all right. Then I was like, what's the next target? Ah, some pregnant lady with a baby? Like, no. Like, all these cliches.
Yeah, and you knew she was going to be a victim because she's definitely like a single mom who's walking around with this loose baby, by the way. No carriage, no like walker or strap or anything. Just a fucking
middle
loose
child.
Middle
time in like...
At night. This is at night. Like
10, yeah. 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Come on, we're going to find you a daddy, Billy.
Gonna prowl for dates with me and this baby. Like, oh my God, lady.
Oh yeah, nothing picks up a guy like a loose baby. Middle-aged women.
Alright, yeah. So I guess we'll go to the end then.
Yeah, where, the quote-unquote big scene of the movie.
The whole, hey, Peter and Gwen are reconciled, now they're working as a power couple.
Yeah, the final Electro fight, which I'm still not sure how they... Because they just overload Electro and then he's dead.
That plot made no sense.
I mean, I kind of got it, where it's like, well, the power thing kind of makes sense, where if you give him too much power, he explodes. They basically pulled the Incredible Hulk maneuver, where they gave him too much and he just blew up.
Yeah.
Right, but why was Electro there in the first place?
Because that was like...
Like, they had to get him. It's not like Spider-Man was just going to, like, go and then Electro was going to follow him.
Well, he was going there because, like, Harry told him he could take over the power for the city or something. I don't know. Or because, like...
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the most, like, half-beaked thing.
Well, didn't they say, like, Max, like, designed that facility or something?
Yeah, but, like, take
it back? Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to take it back, dummy?
I'm going to take back the power. Take back the power.
I think he wants to own it or something. I don't know. It's really weird because his whole plan.
Plot device. He's there.
Yep.
Harry wanted him just to get in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which included just getting into the building. There was no like
the end of his usefulness to Harry.
Yeah, and Harry then wanted to inject himself with Kool-Aid, and he became fucking Goblin. I like how even the evil CEO guy, the executive.
Yeah,
that took over Oscorp was like, this is bad. Like, you should probably listen to me. I know you don't like me, but you're going to inject yourself and it's going to get bad.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard anyone ever want to do.
Yeah.
It's like, someone's like, I'm going to drink this bleach. Don't try to stop me. It's like, okay.
Okay, well.
You got the gun. And then that's the thing. The guy wasn't even cocky. Like, he was scared and was like, well, I don't think you should take it. It might kill you. It's going to kill you. And Harry's like, shut up. Let me take it. Actually, put it in me. The guy would have been like, I have the advantage now. You're letting me poison you.
Yeah, you have no idea what this is.
How do you know I'm telling the truth? It's like, how? Like, I don't know. His Harry's plan was crazy and this weird gamble that, he was so blinded. I kind of got that, where, like, he's blinded by his rage of no reason.
Yeah, he started out kind of sensible, and then he learned he had goblinitis, and he just lost his mind.
But here's the thing. I need to compare this to the other Spider-Man movie in terms of the cinema version, where it was either magic power gas or goblinitis plus spider venom.
Oh, I would.
That's what I'm left with.
I would take Willem Dafoe Mighty Morphin Goblin any day of the week.
Yeah, me too.
Well, because it wasn't the suit they gave him powers. It was like goblin gas that.
Yeah, it was the gas they developed to like because they need because the. the pilots, because it's for the army, so they needed to, like, the pilots couldn't handle the glider without the gas to give them more, like...
That's closer to the real story.
It kind of was.
Reflexes, yeah. Because, like, regular pilots were, like, passing out and crashing the glider. So they
needed it's, like, so much G's, and they're just, like, going to black out.
They made the suit, and they made the gas to, like, enhance their, like, reflexes and stuff, and, like, agility. Yeah,
and here, it's like everything was conveniently made with no explanation. So we have a power suit that can heal people, an exosuit.
Oh, yeah, by the way, here's this military project we're working on. That's, like, probably won't factor in, probably won't even worry about it, but it's a...
Oh, also, anyone could just walk into it, like a weird chamber, and wear it. No ID, no scanner, just, hey, just want to walk in.
Right, so, by the way, the original trilogy wins just for the pure fact that Harry Osborn and Norman Osborn were both the Goblin.
Yes.
Like, it gets actually passed down in a way that makes sense, and they both have to cross paths with Spider-Man. Yeah. As bad as Spider-Man 3 was, like, at least they nailed, like, the continuity thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
At least Venom was in it for more than the last 5 minutes.
At least he was featured, as poorly as it was.
Because, let's talk about the, how they shoehorned in the classic Death of Gwen Stacy scene.
Yeah. Oh, it was like an afterthought, man.
This could have been different, but here's the thing where, like, I'm okay with this.
It looked like her actual, like, death in that entire sequence was pretty great. It's just, like, no, you shouldn't care about it at all because, like, Goblin's been in it for, like, not even 5 minutes. He just shows up.
Right.
So there's, like, no emotional stakes at all, really. It's just, like...
Well... Here's another thing about that, too. There's no emotional stakes. There's no sort of build-up with Goblin to make him evil.
Nope, he's just like...
It's just kind of like, oh, Harry's here, and he's being a cunt. Like, yes. he's here, and he took Gwen, and now we're in this situation. He's
oh, Peter, really? Here, you're Spider-Man? All right, I'm going to murder Gwen now, okay?
Yeah, I was like...
Dude, but, like, the whole point of what makes it so evil in the comics is that he, like, gives a monologue to Spider-Man before he throws Gwen Stacy off of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
Like, he basically tells him, like, shit's about to get really real. And you can either, like, what is it, like, save those kids or whatever? Or, like, save the girl or whatever. He had a choice.
Which they did in the first Spider-Man.
Which they did in the first Spider-Man, correct.
The Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Right. But, like, oh, man. This was just so bad because you don't care about the fact that Goblin did it. And the way that it goes down, it is clearly and unequivocally Spider-Man's fault.
Yep.
Like, in the comic, at least, you're kind of like, well, was she dead before she, like, got into this situation? Like, did Goblin kill her and Spider-Man never had a chance? Like, that's a great debate among nerds that still rages on today.
Mm-hmm.
About the ultimate fate of Gwen Stacy. Well, this made it pretty goddamn obvious because she was screaming the whole way down for Peter to save her. And, like, he just kind of waited. He's like, oh, I don't have a shot. Like, fuck you. You saved that, like, dumb mom and her baby from Times Square from, like, 2 miles away or whatever. Like, you saw from all that distance that she was gonna possibly touch an electrified handrail.
Yeah.
And you had time to do all the complicated geometry and, like, do a switcheroo and, like, swap sides even, like, with her and the other guy. Like, you choreographed that all in an instant. And you couldn't shoot a straight web down to Gwen, like, a second sooner?
Mm-hmm.
Man, come on,
Spidey. My other question was, okay, so why... I know in the fight, he was fighting Goblin on a gear with his foot, his webbing, and his other hand free to, like, punch Goblin. He couldn't, like, put the web somewhere else. Like, he had to hold on to it. And they got cut. Yeah. That was the whole point. I was like,
web the web to the wall.
Yeah, just...
yes.
Just
you're Spider-Man. You're amazing.
This isn't the first fight. You could... rearrange it. I don't know, but I was like, all right, you know, for that sake, for the panic moment and for the whole thing, okay. But her death was kind of like, it broke up the formula in terms of superhero movies for this, where like, hey, his love interest, dead. Like, and it ends that
until
way, too.
The next movie. So,
right, but in terms of like, even for like newcomers to like these new hero movies, like, this is kind of different, isn't it? You gotta at least agree to that, where it's like, no happy ending. Or no real and happy for him.
Well, you could have had a no happy ending if you had... I mean, just to be a pure, like, traditionalist here, you had a moment in this movie where Spider-Man, with his mask off, and Gwen, were atop the Brooklyn Bridge after he webbed the words "I love you" into the Brooklyn Bridge.
All these birds get stuck into it.
If ever there, just like dirty like seagulls and shit. If hobos trying to kill themselves. If ever there was an opportunity for the Green Goblin to find Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker as Spider-Man, that was the chance. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you know you want to use Gwen to get to him. Okay, that's fine. Or you know that you want to kill... Okay, you don't have to know. Somebody wrote "I love you" in webs on the goddamn Brooklyn Bridge. That means that... Well, first of all, spoiler, it was Spider-Man. Second of all, someone he cares about is nearby. And third of all, now's your fucking chance. I mean, how much better would it have been for him to show up during that sequence?
That's true.
See, that was... Peter without the mask.
My brain kind of shut down about that because it was so stupid. My brain was like, nope, you look
it
away.
It was retardedly stupid, but it would have been perfect because it could have worked out that it was Peter's hubris that killed Gwen.
True. Right?
Because if he hadn't shown off and if he had kept his goddamn mask on, or okay, maybe not, but at least that would have made a really clear connection to him being Spider-Man, obviously. You have Gwen in the picture, and it could have been... you might have even had sympathy for Harry in a way, because if he showed up, saw that, put together that it was Peter and Spider-Man are the same person who's denying him the blood that he needs to, you know, do whatever, and got him in this mech suit in the first place, he could have made a spur of the moment decision and maybe done something that maybe he wouldn't have done if he didn't get like hit with that all at the same time. You know, send the glider after them. Throw a pumpkin bomb, which you don't even have a pumpkin bomb. You just have like a little grenade.
Hit one pumpkin bomb, yeah.
One. Just one.
But can you even call it a pumpkin bomb? Because that was clearly just like a flashbang.
An orange grenade, yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking horrible. But I'm just saying, I would have been a lot more happy with that happening. Keeping it the traditional comic thing, having Gwen die there, Green Goblin gets away, and Electro is still on the loose. Well, guess what, Spider-Man? Now you've got a choice to make.
Hmm.
That would have been far more dramatic than Spider-Man goes into fucking, like, post-traumatic, like, shock and sits at a grave for 5 months.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, Chris. Like, you know how I was always like, my Batman doesn't retire. My Batman wouldn't go into hiding for 8 years. Would your Spider-Man take 5 months off and just fucking, like, sit at a grave listening to Morrissey?
You know, modern Spider-Man, not... Actually, no, it's weird. Because, like, I grew up with the Spider-Man that, when he found out he's losing his power, went on a sabbatical. He didn't find a cure. He just went on sabbaticals. So, it's kind of weird.
That's different. Yeah. This Spider-Man didn't lose his powers. He just lost his girlfriend.
Well, I mean... He did kill, unlike before we questioned it, he killed her. Like, he was like, he was gonna die. There was no way around it in this one. So, because I like this movie for that one scene, because it's like, oh, shit. It's like, you know, she died, and he can't deal with it. Even though his, like, ghost conscious of Dennis Leary was like, you killed her. Told ya.
He's just like, swishing around a scotch with ice in it. He's like, ah.
I didn't need too much ghost Dennis Leary, because that was way too much. Even like before the fight, where like, or during the fight, where you see him and he's like, "Hey, foreshadow."
Yeah,
it's like, oh, no.
I am here to remind you of a promise that you made in the previous installment of this series.
Don't let him get killed by a lizard,
or anything green for that matter.
I mean, it's like, if that was cleverly disguised, like, green kills Spider-Man, like, anything that was, like, a green monster, okay, this is, like, a wild guess.
Green is the opposite of red.
Like, that's too much of a creative thought into it. This is just randomly throwing things at a board and hoping it plays.
Well, they're trying, like, Sony is trying to do, they're trying to, like, create, like, a Marvel Cinematic Universe in one movie.
Yeah.
Instead of building up, like, pretty much every, like, DC, Sony, Fox, like, it seems like everyone is trying to, like, they're trying to catch up to Avengers, but they're ignoring the fact that, like, Avengers took 5 movies to get to.
Yeah, they're trying to simplify it. And it's like
we Avengers right now!
You know who Spider-Man benefit for? Another superhero, like a ally, someone he could talk to, you know, some sort of weird character. You'd be like, so, Ghost Rider, how's your day?
Oh. Well, maybe if they pulled the fucking trigger with Daredevil, they wouldn't, you know, they would have had someone that he could go to.
Yeah, someone who actually come and be like, hey, Spider-Man, you should be Spider-Man again.
Maybe they'll Black Cat. Yeah.
Well, do they, though? Because all they do is say Felicia. That's like making that's like making John Blake Robin.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's just such a unnecessary, like, it's not even an Easter egg. It's a total fucking cop-out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like that's what this was. Because if you play the Amazing Spider-Man video game, they have a really great fucking Felicia with a really awesome explanation for who she is and why she's there. And they even deal with Ravencroft. Like, Spider-Man knows what Ravencroft is, goddammit. He's there for, like, most of the first game. And this, they were just kind of like, oh, my name is Felicia. And, like, two people in my theater were like, what? You know, but everyone else was kind of like, okay, like, that's good.
And she wasn't even like, name? Not even, yeah, like, what's her full name? Just Felicia. Like a singer? Yeah, I'm just like, I'm just Felicia. So, yeah, and like, how is the Stacy family just like okay with both their family members being killed by Spider-Man's fights?
Yeah, crazy, like, Spider-Man supervillain fights.
How are the brothers not swearing vengeance by this point? Because it's like, anytime.
Well, who knows, man? One of those kids might grow up to be the fucking Punisher with all the choices this universe is making. You know, I don't know.
Marvel's Punisher, so don't worry about that.
I'm just kidding. But, I mean, I don't know. They could be fucking Carnage.
I mean, Dennis Leary and the Stacy family just had, like, what, 5 unchecked kids? Just so many fucking kids.
Yeah, well, you know, not to be a total Irish stereotype or anything, but he was a, you know, he was a cop, and he was a Christian, and he was a conservative, and he didn't like Spider-Man, and he had a lot of kids. What are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just this, like, holy crap. And she's nowhere buried near her father.
No.
Like, I think she's just, like, in some mass grave area. Of New York. I'm like, holy crap.
Oh, my favorite thing, though, is that, think about this. They've set the precedent for hauntings. Dead Stacy's. So now, you know that she's going to be back in the next movie. Oh. Just like, you know that, like, the first half of the next movie is just going to be like, you know, fucking I'll Be Watching You playing, and then, like, Gwen Stacy's apparition showing up in shop windows. And
if they bring Mary Jane in, like, he'll be, like, making out with Mary Jane, just, like, look over and be, like, just angry Emma Stone, just, like, shaking her head at him.
Yeah.
You promised me.
Or her and Dennis Leary both just, like, shaking their heads at him.
Or Emma Stone will shake her head and Dennis Leary will, like, put a thumbs up and be, like,
yeah, I told you to stay away.
You should
just. Or he's, like, yeah, you're gonna kill her too, Peter? Like. but this sucks because now they have to spend the whole next movie introducing Mary Jane. And it's going to be another awkward love story.
Yeah.
Because Mary Jane doesn't like Peter at first, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, she kind of does. And
well, she does, but he blows her off, and then she goes to, like, every other guy on the planet, apparently.
Yeah, that's true.
Flash Thompson. Man. It's Flash Thompson? If it were just Flash Thompson, that wouldn't be so bad.
Harry.
But it's, like, a different... Yeah, exactly.
Random Although, guys later on.
I don't
on.
Know how they're going to pull off Harry with this one now, because...
Oh, I love the... Like, so let's talk about the 5 different endings of this movie that, like, is, like, Return of the King syndrome. Just, like, never ending.
Yep.
So well, yeah, one of the endings is, like, apparently Harry is... Was he locked up in Ravencroft, or...
Yeah, he was locked up. He wore and then, a like, straight jacket.
Then, like, just right, that mysterious man in the trench coat shows up. We still have no idea who the fuck that is.
Who he Mr. all Fist. Thought...
Is, they Wait, called what? Him Mr. Fist. Or Mr. Fierce or something like that.
Yeah, I think they said Mr. Fierce or something. It's some stupid name.
Some stupid name that... I'm like, oh, you're going to be the Vulture. You're going to be something weird.
Mr. Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and apparently, like, so, like, Harry's, like, extreme goblinitis now. Just, like, randomly disappears.
He's got inflammations of it.
On again, off again. Like, yeah, he has, like, he just, it's like acne, basically. Now he has goblinitis. And then they do, like, the whole, like, I've gotten a couple volunteers. We have, what do you need, like, 6? And then they do, like, the whole, like, I'm walking past the swings and the octopus arms and the rhino armor. And then we find, then we see the rhino armor in like the last scene, which is just should not have been in the movie. It was like so fucking stupid.
Well, okay, so the setup to the last scene is like the city realizes they need Spider-Man and a weird radio announcement, right? They're like, oh, hey, you know.
There were so many weird radio things going on in this movie. Like, it was like, yeah. Another scene was like people listen to like podcasts or radio or something.
I think he's good. I think he's bad.
Man, you guys hear about the Spider-Man guy you were around?
Like, he swings around in broad daylight. Like, we know he exists.
Yeah. Like, Max, like Max is on the radio. Like, oh, yeah, I know Spider-Man's my best friend. Like, thanks, Max. Yeah, so Mecha Rhino shows up.
This should have been the first scene of the next movie.
Yeah.
It should have ended with Spider-Man. We don't know if he's going to be Spider-Man again.
It should have ended with, like, them saying... You need, like, 6 volunteers or whatever. And then credits.
Yeah.
But then they do this whole tacked-on rhino sequence where, like, he has mecha armor now. And then, like, the world's stupidest kid shows up and, like, dressed as Spider-Man.
Stupidest kid? The world's worst mother?
Yeah.
You brought your kid to that fucking thing?
Yeah, hey, it's the town. It's the city fight.
There's a crazy immigrant in a giant tank suit. Let's just go watch that.
Shooting, like... M6 like machine gun caliber rounds,
shooting anti-tank rounds at cops.
It's not like a pistol, you know. These are things that go through buildings.
Yeah.
So, and the kid dressed up as Spider-Man. The parent bought him that.
Yeah.
The kid didn't buy that. Oh, yeah. You want to go for a walk? Yeah. Wear your Spider-Man costume.
Yeah. You let him leave the house like that.
Yeah. So he runs off and like is like facing that rhino as Spider-Man. Everyone's just like, everyone stay back. And then mom's like, no, that's my son. I was waiting for the old joke of like, it's like, don't worry, man, Spider-Man's got this. It's like, that's not Spider-Man, it's my son. Oh, I should be very proud.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then the cop's like, hold your fire. No, open fire. Kill him now.
That kid.
So that he doesn't hurt the kid.
Yeah. But fortunately, like, Rhino, like, whatever Rhino's name in this movie is, random, like, Soda Popinski or whatever his name is.
Ruski Rushnikov or whatever.
Like, Vodka Drunkinski.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, taunting the kid instead of, like, just, like... like, that should be your opportunity to, like, do something. Like, shoot him in the face because he has no armor on now or something.
Yeah, he pops his head out and is shit-talking this, like, 7-year-old.
Oh, look at this Spider-Man!
Yeah, obviously they're trigger happy because they took a pot shot at Electro trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, of all days to not have that sniper on the job, you know, because this could have been ended real quick.
Yeah.
And then, we have a shot. Confirmed. Clear. Boom.
Yep.
The end. Bring in the fucking mop and the rodeo clowns and get the people out of here. Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Wouldn't the next thing be like, we need to go to Oscorp? This thing just left the Oscorp building. Like,
yeah, it actually has the word Oscorp printed on the back of it.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, wow. Holy shit. Why isn't the next scene like them arresting whoever just let
everyone
this thing
at
go?
Oscorp?
Yeah. Like, not only that, 2 employees are gone from Oscorp. Gwen is dead. And so is Max.
Yep.
Like, he's not, he may not be dead, but he's not there.
The CEO is locked up in an insane asylum.
And just, like, this place would be under invest. Like, this is Enron of the fucking universe of, like, corporate mischief.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, so that was terrible.
But anyway, so then Spider-Man shows up, and, like, I like how Rhino, like, lets him, like, just give, the, like, this pep talk to the kid. Still.
Yeah.
It's like,
I do,
and
like...
And then after all that retarded buildup, you don't even see the fight.
Oh, my God, that was disappointing. That was really
See Amazing Spider-Man 3, guys!
Maybe we'll finish
this fight. If that's how the next movie starts, I'm not going to see it. I will get up and leave the theater if that's how it begins.
Just like the sewer.
Last time we saw our hero, he was fighting the rhino.
Stanley's just narrating it.
Hello, true believers. I would actually probably prefer that.
It's just like an hour of Stanley talking about it.
And then they just like keep cutting to him in an armchair, like in a library by a fire. Like, you know, it was at that point that I realized Spider-Man had to fight the Green Goblin.
Didn't you already fight the Green Goblin, Uncle Stan?
Fight him again!
And then, like, Venom's there, and, like, Mysterio.
I just hope I get to hear Stanley say the Sinister Six.
That'll be his Easter egg scene in the next movie. He'll be like,
"These the Sinister Six!" And he like jumps into a cab and drives away.
It's like, these six are very sinister.
Yeah. You know that's going to be a J. Jonah Jameson name. For sure.
There'll be like a blog post on Daily Beagle because you won't see him again.
Yeah, exactly. I jumped them, the Sinister Six. It's crap. Mega crap. But, so, okay, as terrible as that all was, now we have to get down to it.
The soundtrack?
No.
I got
bounced like a little. There's that too, but there's no after credit scene.
No, there was. It was really bad.
Did you guys see the Spider, like the X-Men thing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Which I was like, I just left because I'm like, I'm going to see that in like 2 weeks. So
the after credits scene literally was someone sloppily throws in a random scene from X-Men Days of Futures Past for like 10 seconds and then leaves.
Mm-hmm. Right. But like, okay, we're obviously just being funny about that. But like, there was no actual Amazing Spider-Man related post-credit scene.
Nope.
Yeah, the first one.
There wasn't one in the first one either.
Well, right. But like, at least the last thing you see is very suspicious and kind of gets your dick hard for the next movie. You know, where it's like, oh, we not yet. Now it's not the, or like whatever it was when they're visiting, I guess.
Well, you know, if you Shazam during the Alicia Keys song, you could.
Oh my God. Yeah, let's go to that next. First of all, they don't tell you that.
It's literally just like the background images of the credits without the credits on them.
Yeah.
Because all those things that during the credits were like kind of like implying the members of the Sinister Six.
So let's look at that then. So Rhino, is he out of the question now? Because we could assume that Spider-Man beats him
and he's incapacitated.
Okay, so that's one down. So obviously we have Dr. Octopus,
mm-hmm.
who hasn't been introduced, so that ought to be really well developed.
Well, hopefully they do that in Sinister Six, the movie, so that we don't deal with like an origin story in the...
Okay, but now you can't have that because you can't have a Sinister Six movie in a world where Spider-Man exists and not have him do something about it. Like, is Spider-Man going to be in the Sinister Six movie?
Supposedly, like, cameo near the end, probably. It's all the Sinister Six movies about their origins all together, robbing shit, and then probably at the end, it's like Spider-Man's like, "Hey, I heard about you guys," and they fight. Just like this, probably. Just like this weird ending.
But this has to. Okay. The only way that this could make any sense is if they built in that 5-month hiatus as a time for, like, the Sinister Six to, I don't know.
Well, during that 5-month hiatus, that's where Harry is just like, get your best men together and, like, we'll really get Rhino first. And that, I think he says something along the lines like that. It's like, okay, like, give him the suit first and then Mr. Fisk go get other men. So Mr. Fisk is going to go around recruiting it, like at Ocean's 11.
But
like,
then that doesn't make any sense because then either Rhino had that suit for 5 goddamn months and was just running amok through the city.
Yeah.
Or, if he didn't have that suit for 5 months and wasn't running through the city, like, you know, causing chaos, then you have this really fast 5-month, like development of all these characters, and then you wouldn't have them all confront Spider-Man at the end of this movie. That would have been amazing, as if this ended with a shot of the Sinister Six for the first time, and Spider-Man on the other side, like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna get wacky.
Well, you're describing a better ending.
I know that.
Oh, man, that actually would make way more sense than us.
That would have been a much better teaser than him throwing a fucking, you know, manhole cover.
Manhole to the head.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna be a turn. A manhole cover to the head.
That's going to be that sequel to Bullet to the Head. We called Manhole to the Head. But yeah, man. So, Vulture, super undeveloped and not explained, Doc Ock.
Harry.
I guess Harry.
Will be like the leader, probably. The
Goblin. Whatever.
There's like, it looks...
Electro, I guess? Number 4?
Well, have you guys seen like the... So, like, just the pictures from the credits of, like, the random things that are in the credits?
I have.
I didn't pay attention to that.
It's allegedly Mysterio and Kraven as well.
Yeah, and then there's one, like, I have no idea what the fuck it is.
Yeah, I haven't even really seen the pictures very clearly, to be honest with you. Like,
well, yeah. So Rhino. So it's like apparently Rhino's horn from his mech.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Harry's glider. There's like Doc Ock's arms, Vulture's wings, Kraven's like knife, maybe. But it just it's like his weird like like jaguar eyes symbols that he has on his jaguar skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like people are saying it might be a knife, but it just looks like nothing. And then yeah, Mysterio's mask with like smoke coming out of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it looks like Mysterio looks kind of like those old like drop like the mask for like drama, you know, like the Greek mask for drama.
Mm-hmm.
With like smoke coming out of it.
Hmm. I didn't really pay attention to the credits, to be honest, because like I was so like letting it decide. My brain was battling itself to figure out if it liked it or hated it.
That was a thing that happened. That was 2.5 hours of my life.
Okay. The thing that also, after the credit, was just, like, the weird music that was involved. It was, like, even the soundtrack listing popped up, and I was like, all these songs don't make any sense to what's going on.
Oh, yeah, just all hipstery music.
Even when Spider-Man's on... Oh, man, we skipped the Spider-Man figures out his dad's, like... We skip all of Richard Parker's stuff, which is good, because, like, weird.
We haven't mentioned the goddamn opening airplane fight.
Oh, God.
We're not gonna, Zach. We're
like,
not.
Richard Parker, agent of whatever.
And then, just, like, the soundtrack for Peter's montage of piecing all the clues together and going nowhere with them. So weird. I felt like it was a family comedy or something for this one scene of, like, rebuilding a treehouse or whatever, you know?
Roosevelt?
I did like how he is the computer. He doesn't need to do this by hand, you know? He doesn't need to write all the clues like this.
Go, like, bike down to the library or swimsing down to the library.
Or messing up his wall with just crazy, like, shit. I don't know. Just, like, the music really broke the immersion for me.
How did Richard Parker... just high like a how did he find Roosevelt's secret subway train, and B, how did he turn to a lab?
In this movie he Googled it, so I don't know what Richard Parker did.
No
blinging it, remember that?
He Googled abandoned subway station plus Roosevelt plus where is daddy. And then that was the top result.
Roosevelt's secret subway car used to like not be seen by the public in New York City. That would probably be in like the Smithsonian and not like just abandoned in New York City.
Yeah,
like you think like a team of like archaeologists would be like, yes, we need, or historians would be like, we probably should preserve this like secret subway station that Roosevelt used. It's probably historically significant. No, we'll let this guy turn into a genetic lab so we can download things to himself.
I do like how New York just has abandoned, like, places that have power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand the concept of how's this all on the power grid?
So underground, man, you just tap right into the grid.
I'm like, that's not how shit works like that.
Tap into the grid.
Just clip some Alligator clips to it. The power grid.
And, like, this is a super nerdy fact, but did anyone realize that Richard Parker was using, like cable modem internet at a time where like that shit didn't exist
on his Sony Vaio laptop? Yeah,
that didn't exist like 20 years ago. I was like, do they know the time ever when this came out? Like when they're like modernizing?
They had those product placements in, son.
But like, you can't use a laptop on a jet plane back then. Like, you know, like, the regulations are weird.
How'd they afford their private plane too?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
They're able to afford, like, a private jet and, like, a T1 connection on this private jet in, like, the 80s.
So, like, I'm like, wait, like, I'm like, huh, that's already, like, weird. I'm gonna ignore that.
And then, like, the entire fact of, like, the whole crux of that fight was, like, the plug kept getting unplugged, so he's, like, keep plugging it in.
Oh my god, the laptop cliche thing, oh.
Plug it back in.
That's not how it works. Like, where is it plugging into? The plane? Does the plane have an ether port?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, this is why you need wireless laptops, I guess.
It was one feature.
The only way it makes sense is like if the present day of this movie is like 21 something, so then 20 years ago it was like 2000.
Yeah, because that fight had to take place in like 1990 something or 1980 something, you know? Like 91 or 89. Nowhere near and even then internet wasn't like popular enough to put on a plane. So
yeah.
I don't know what the hell that was going on.
Free discs to get the internet in the plane.
That floppy disk. They would still be using fucking floppy disks, not cloud computing.
Mm-hmm. Oscorp had maybe they stole it from Oscorp and they had like advanced internet connections in the 80s.
That's such a big jump. So again, it's like, hey, Osborne, stop inventing internet like technology when you need to solve your goblinitis.
Yeah.
Just like small things like that. It makes me still hate the movie, but I like it enough. You know, it's just like in comparison to the Batman Forever analogy we were using, it is, but it still taps into that Batman and Robin like wacky logic, which I'm just like, oh god.
Yeah, I don't think it gets as bad as Batman and Robin.
Right. But it was tipping towards that, where it's like clusterfuck of villains, all their motives are fucking bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Even the heroes are weird because like their motives are just like, I just like being a dick to everybody.
Val Kilmer Batman, so it's just like weird, really weird. Like
I didn't mind Val Kilmer Batman, and I didn't mind what's his face Garfield as Spider-Man. It's just when he's out of costume and he's talking to everyone and he's like trying to be sympathetic, but it seems like he's gonna kiss them. Or like slowly creeping closer to put his lips on you, like that's weird. We all got that vibe when Sally Fields was crying, like, you're my baby. And we're like, oh, okay, Peter, stop getting so close. Up, don't touch her.
Like, if you at me,
all I need is you. That was kind of weird. I mean, it's emotional. Her words are like really like strong. It was like their Oscar moment where she's like, I have to go back to work to afford this place in Queens. And, you know, I don't know how bills work, because Uncle Ben always paid for shit.
Yeah, she somehow became like a nurse for no reason.
And they made it seem like this is a disgraceful job, you know? It's like, no, she just went to nursing school, so she becomes a nurse to pour money. That's not terrible, right? Like,
I gotta hide this. This is like waitressing.
Yeah, she hides the fact that she's lowering her waitressing shift to go be a nurse. It's like, Peter, that's okay. Like, she's not like an old handicapped person. She's actually just like 60, right? Like she's not.
And then there's like they played it off of one scene where it's like she's in the hospital and the power goes out.
Oh no, all her nursing like teachings kick in.
I know where her battery is. I'll be right back.
How is she the only one in this hospital that knows everything? Everyone else is just like not giving a fuck. And the one part my brain started scoping in, every doctor was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
If you see this movie again, notice all the doctoring, all the other staff members are all like in their teens. There blatantly is like a young like 18-year-old girl as a doctor. I'm just like, how are you a doctor? You look nothing like someone you should be taking care of a life.
I just graduated last week.
It's like, how did she become a doctor and you just became a nurse? Like, this is weird. And like, doesn't nursing take like a year? You don't to be able to register a nurse. You don't just like go to one night class and that's it. See, time is so bizarre in this movie. We don't know how fast and how slow it moves. Like, Aunt May became a nurse. She just started last week.
Mm-hmm. Man, remember that crazy month where, like, we got snow and the leaves changed and it started raining?
Do you remember when, like, that we
lousy,
all were...
Lousy smarch.
I know they graduated sometime in May or June, and then it's like a whole 6 months pass, and then it's like, you know, the fall when they meet up and stuff, and no, it's actually, that was the summer. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, there's never Christmas lights, so it never gets to Christmas. Or at least November. So, yeah, who knows how long this movie takes. But it is definitely like, there's like leaves falling off the trees and then snow when he's like standing at the grave, so it's at least like early winter.
Speaking of the grave, I do like how everyone just leaves Peter there.
You mean, okay, Peter, just standing here for 5 months? Okay, bye.
Okay. Like the family just doesn't even acknowledge Peter's there. Like Gwen's family just leaves.
Aunt May holds his hand for like a minute, and then she's like, I gotta go.
I owe nurse.
And then he's just there. And it's like no one questions him about visiting the grave.
Like every day. Just standing there for 8 hours.
The amazing thing they could have done to really enhance the ending, if Aunt May was like, Peter, you need to be Spider-Man again. Wasn't that like, was everyone else getting that vibe too when she's talking
that
about
she
like,
knew?
Was,
yeah,
that she understood his role? Unlike other Spider-Man movies, this Aunt May was like,
onto him?
And she was like, you could tell me you're Spider-Man. It's totally fine, Peter. Like, and I felt like there's no repercussion, you know? Because Spider-Man didn't get Uncle Ben killed in this one, right? Like he ran away. That was it. And it wasn't like he was wearing a Spider-Man suit for a wrestling match or something that got Uncle Ben killed. And
he showed up at like a convenience store, and then like the guy robbed the convenience store, or like he was trying to get something, and then like the guy wouldn't give him to him.
Ah. But that's another thing.
The first movie is like, Peter being... like I remember like the beginning of the first movie is like super hazy to me. I just remember like he was like there's like a montage of him like just beating the shit out of people to like find the guy who had the tattoo on his arm.
Right, and that doesn't get resolved, does it?
I think in the game, does it get resolved, Joe?
No. They skip four. No. They never go back and explain the past. I played the game, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joe recommended it. I was like, okay, that's actually not bad as a story, because this was like the what if of a Spider-Man 2 scenario, and it's just...
Yeah,
like,
it was the Oscorp fallout.
I've heard the Amazing Spider-Man 2 game is probably as big a mess as the movie.
They're like, if you somewhat enjoyed the Amazing Spider-Man 1 game, prepare for like to be even that to be lowered. So I was like, ooh. And I liked Amazing Spider-Man 2. I like most of the Spider-Man games. So this is just like, well, it's super linear. It's like way more linear than the Amazing Spider-Man 1 game. Anyway, this movie, it's a hot mess, but it's like the little freaky movie that could. So who knows what happens to the third movie where they make up for it, or they it's like even worse, they just amp it up again where it's like, well, this time Peter's dating two girls. And it's like, oh no. And then, you know, Aunt May gets cancer. Like, oh God, like all these depressing things. And then
Aunt May gets shot. And then Spider-Man says, then we get to deal with the devil.
Oh, not Mayday. God, that made one me almost stop day. Reading Spider-Man comics. The one more day. Was that the one where, no. That was later on, where he wipes MJ's memories of Spider-Man.
Well, that's the whole consequence of One More Day, is that...
Yeah, that was the
Mephisto
fallout.
Was like, well, I can bring Aunt May back, but you'll lose all your... like, you lose all your memory of what happened, and then...
Well, no, he makes the world for everyone forgets that he's Spider-Man or something.
Yeah, and then he shows them, like, here's your daughter you'll never have.
Well, I'm okay with that. But, I mean, this is kind of like that scenario where, like,
cause
oh, like, wow, like...
Because that was one of the things that happened at the end of Civil War, where, like, Aunt May got shot or something, and then,
well,
like...
And then, no, Harry's like, oh, by the way, that was an actor. Actress I paid to get shot to make you, like, even more depressed.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that. Like, Spider-Man comics, yeah, like, every arc has a section where Spider-Man gets super depressed because his life is shit. And it should be for these kind of reasons. Because he's a struggling superhero, so you need these, like, terrible moments in his life that, like, he needs to overcome.
They should do, the plot... Where, like, Peter's parents come back, but they're, like, clones.
They're, like, super robot clones?
Yeah. And then they
Osborn me.
Yeah, they get kidnapped by Venom.
Again, like, I didn't mind that in the comic, because that kind of made sense. And this, I'm just like, I kind of want to see if they're going to bring back Richard Parker, at least.
I'm sure there'll be some new stupid revelation in the third one.
It's like, oh, I cloned myself on the plane, so there's two of me now. Or, like, you know, I survived the plane crash and cloned myself. And now I'm Hydra, or now I'm what's a Hydra Man or whatever.
Or like, it's like, Peter, if you inject this serum, you'll get even more powerful.
Some other weird YouTube video that he left behind.
Yeah, this is serum B. You took serum A.
Well, we talked about the blood thing being a big catalyst to like Oscorp and Spider-Man things and Harry. They borrow that from Ultimate Spider-Man, where Peter Parker experimented a lot on his blood for no reason, just because he could, and it's like...
Well, don't... Because like, he got bit at Oscorp or something, then they have, like, his DNA on file, and they're trying to, like, figure out what the hell happened to it.
Peter or...
Oscorp is like, we got this sample from one of our spiders or whatever.
Ah.
Or they're like, Peter gets cut at one point, and they take, like, they steal his blood, and they're, like, trying to analyze it because of what happened to Norman.
And they actually do, like, weird experiments with it, where the blood becomes carnage, or the blood becomes, like, venom, and I'm like, yeah, wow, I like that theory. But here, it's like, okay, as much they have to savage it, and it's like, that is one of the things where I could see, like, they could try to do with it. Where they try to mix the venom and Peter's blood, which is Peter's blood, apparently, and then they microwave it, I don't know, something, and they get, like, a MacGuffin
series. Find out in the Venom solo movie.
Oh, yeah. God. Topher Venom Grace comes back. Vector. Topher Grace comes back. I didn't die. I'm back.
The fight make it Flash Thompson.
I lost my legs, and now I'm a super soldier.
Hey, Peter, it's your other high school friend, Flash Thompson.
I remember I bullied you, and then you yelled at me, and then we became friends?
Yeah. But yeah, that'll probably do it for Meet Experiment 2. I don't know if any of us recommend you go see it.
I do. I recommend you go experience
it. Yeah, you need to see it, but don't
some of the fight scenes are pretty good, except for the tower scene. That was debatable.
Definitely see it like this week, or like probably this weekend or next weekend, or, like this coming weekend, because in a like 2 weeks we're gonna have Godzilla, and it's gonna be like I'm sure it'll be like just infinitely better. And then Days of Future Past is gonna be probably infinitely better. So,
oh, I don't know about that, young man. That movie might come off the rails, too. And don't forget, it's a Bryan Singer movie, so
it's either going to be amazing or a disaster.
Well, that's the thing. It's probably going to be a coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing's for sure. It'll be a big gay struggle of some kind.
I would say probably matinee Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Don't be
Sunday matinee.
Exactly. Did you guys see it in 3D?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw it in real D, and it was cool. It was cool, but it didn't make it a better movie. maybe more visually engaging, but not a better movie.
Did it make those like GoPro sequences in the beginning look better? attached to Spider-Man's chest.
I mean, that was kind of cool. I won't lie, but I mean that I'd rather have a better movie than that.
A better story, like plot. Elements than hey, fancy camera work.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, wow, that was really cool. I forgive you.
I think it's just, like, compared to Captain America, too, like, this is just god-awful.
Well, Captain America is a stronger story, like, way stronger.
Yeah, it was very bad timing for old Spidey.
Mm-hmm. It just shows that Marvel is the only studio right now that, like, knows what they're doing, pretty much.
Well, they know their source material.
Yeah. And they're like, they know they're the top dog now, so they're just like, well, we can take our time again. Like, we're making $250 million in each of these movies. We don't care. And everyone else is like, we need a movie with every single person we have in this movie. And we need...
Yeah, that's the DC method.
Yeah.
No, Superman, you don't get your own sequel.
And,
it's everyone's movie.
Yeah. They're trying to make the Avengers with... We're like, it's like, I don't know, they should be like driving, like, or they should be like, they're building a rocket without, and just putting an engine on it. It's like, put all the engines on it! And that'll get us to the moon.
This will get us to the money.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, so that'll probably do it for this review cast. I think we covered literally everything in Spider-Man 2. So, if you want more from us, you can go to everythingaction.com. And I'm sure we'll have more viewcasts during this summer. If you don't have one for Godzilla, I don't know what we're doing as a website and a podcast. I'm sure we'll have one
for... Yeah, you can count me in for Godzilla. You can count me in for Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just come on, check out the site for other trailers and news and all sorts of other stuff. Facebook.com/everything.action, Twitter.com/EBAction, everythingaction.tumblr.com. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. You can find us on iTunes by searching for us on there, and download our app from there as well. And you can also subscribe to the podcast and rate us, leave us some reviews. And you can also get us on Stitcher.com, just stream us downloads from there, and you can search for Everything Action there and get the podcast from there as well. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next review cast.